It is time for Talkin' Music on your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. We're going to bring you something a little different today. Back in February, we recorded a live Talkin' Music interview at the Sherboneau Theater in Ridgeway with May Earlywine. We're going to bring you that interview now. We hope you enjoy.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for the first ever live Talkin' Music. We are joined this evening by May Earlywine, singer, songwriter, and heartfelt human being gracing us with her presence this evening. May, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. So happy to be here. Hi, everyone.
You were raised in Northern Michigan, and you were raised by a very creative family. You were raised by, your father was a musician, your parents were vegetarians, Buddhists, I'd like to imagine maybe public radio listeners. And they were very supportive of you creatively and artistically. And I'm wondering if you ever had a moment where that support of your creativity felt like too much, where you had a little moment of rebellion and you said, I'm not going to do anything creative. I'm going to go and I'm going to become a lawyer.
You know, I think that would be something to do. I didn't do that. I think I was naturally just so into the arts from such a young age that it already felt like my own thing instead of something to become. And so I kind of missed that window where you might have a decision. It was just already felt like a part of my being, I think. So I sort of missed that opportunity to rebel. But there were many other ways that I chose to prove my own rebellion. But yeah, they were very supportive, and I felt really fortunate to have that support. And I think it did have a huge effect on me exploring a lot of the creative lands that I love.
I'm curious, amidst that creative, supportive ecosystem, how did you go about finding your own unique voice?
I think the moment that I started writing songs, I picked up a guitar. I was like 11, and there was a guitar that just hung around the house, and it was my parents', I think. It was a wedding gift, I think, and it was just always around. I picked it up, and I just started writing a song immediately, and it just felt very natural, and I had this kind of aha moment of like, oh, this is something I can do. And so I think that was a really natural spark, and so they were surprised because all of a sudden here I am. I got 5 songs now. Like, what are you doing? And I think I struggle more with the shadow of my dad and my sister already being musicians and like figuring out what I wanted to say. But it came from a really pure, innocent place at first. And so I think at the beginning, the songwriting was like innately pure. And then as I started to realize that you could have influences or change things, then it became a little bit of a struggle a little later when I kind of started performing more and started getting attention or people saying, you sound like this or you sound like that. Then you start comparing yourself and then you start wondering, oh, should I be more like this or that? So that time period, a few years later, is when I started to struggle with, do I need to have an identity or can I just keep writing the songs that are in my heart? And I had a little bit of a few awkward years, and then I think I kind of returned just to the place that the songs come from.
And it's so true. I think anytime you take your creative passion and you try to turn it into something more than that, all of those questions come up for all of us.
Yeah, it's really tricky to manage the wandering mind when you're trying to just be creative or just do something that brings you joy. And returning to that joy or that sort of spark is really important when you're a creative person, I think. There's a lot of ego lures in the world that just kind of are meant, they're traps, you know, and it's best to just leave them be if you can.
Check your ego at the door.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard though. I mean, you know, we all got them.
It's so true. I want to talk about place a little bit. You are from Northern Michigan, and I think that Midwesterners, not unlike Westerners, our identities are very much shaped by place. And I know you spent some time hopping trains and busking across the country, and I'm wondering if you'll talk a little bit about the way that you feel like the places of your early youth informed you musically, but also personally.
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. And I think one of the ways I did rebel was I wanted to go travel. It's like I had this really nurturing environment of kind of idealist mentality, and I wanted to go see what else was out there. And so I did do a lot of traveling around and drew a lot of inspiration from wherever I was. So I do think place, wherever you are in time, whether it's where you were born or where you just are at this moment, is impacting you, especially if you're a sensitive person who's drawing inspiration from everything they're seeing. So place is really important to me constantly, and I love to notice and be aware of those differences you're talking about, because I do think, like, in Michigan, we have the Great Lakes, and water is such a huge part of who we are. And just driving through the mountains today and yesterday, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, people of Colorado are people of the mountains. And we share, Michiganders and people of Colorado, it's like a hardiness, because we have to work with the elements and be, you know, aware of them in order to have a joyful day. Like, if you're not paying attention or willing to work with the elements, you're going to probably have a rough time. And so I think in Michigan, we have long, cold winters. It's a very overcast place. So, and then there's a lot of water and beauty and natural world to dig into. So I know that those long winters and that time of insight is a really big part of where my songs come from. And I also know, like, that the peace I find being with the lakes is something that I have definitely drawn into my music. So Michigan, I feel like, is embedded in my songs in ways that I probably would never be able to even describe. But I know it's there, and I can feel it. And it's very sweet to get to travel around and get to know other places. That's one of the gifts of being an artist, is moving around and getting to be a small part of other communities, because we're lucky people embrace artists when they come. It's like they know we need help, you know? So we become a little part of all these communities. So I feel like I get to see the way these places have impacted community and the personalities of those communities. And it's really, really wonderful to just kind of notice that and then draw from that into my music as well. So yeah, it's definitely there for sure.
I like to think that we are in dialogue with the land.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you share a song with us, May?
Yeah, absolutely. Since we're on the topic, I'm going to do one about our essence. And for me, I find that when I connect with nature, it reminds me of some core self that words can't describe. And so this song is about reaching for that connection, and it's called Wild. I've traveled, I wanna let myself unravel. every minute, every mile, I wanna be wild. I wanna be wild. What they think about me, well, it won't change what I am.
Joining us on a live talking music. On a really good day, May, what do you think music has the power to do?
I think music is one of the most magical ways to transform feeling. It's kind of like an alchemy, and it's amazing to see what happens to people who come in struggling with something and how it just allows us access to parts of ourselves. It's like a back door. It's like we often are like dealing with being confronted with all this stimulation and all this stuff on the front end, and music somehow manages to seep into our hearts and move us. And I think everyone needs that, and it just can hold us, it can move us, it can motivate us. And so I like don't underestimate the power of music. It's constantly reminding me and showing me in incredible ways its power. And as I keep doing this, I learn more and more all the time just about how powerful it is, and give a lot of gratitude to the transformations that occur through it. It sounds so simple, but it's really dynamic and complex the way that it can change people.
I love that idea of it being a back door to ourselves.
Yeah, it feels like it. It's like this gentle invitation to feeling. Mm-hmm.
The mudroom to your feelings. Yes.
Right. The kitchen of our beings, you know.
Oh, sounds like an album title to me. I've been thinking a lot lately about the role of the folk musician in the world. And I think historically, the role of the folk musician as the individual willing to hold truth to power. And they do so in such a beautiful and a compelling way through poetry, through art, through music. And I'm wondering if you'll speak a little bit about how you see the role of the folk musician right now in our current moment, in our current climate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. And I think most people would answer it differently because it's a personal journey with that. I think, and just like we talked about, the power of music, it's incredibly huge. And so if you're someone holding that power, you have a lot of privilege even to be on a stage, even right now. The fact that my voice is being heard, especially as a woman in the world, is a privilege and also like unique. And so for my own journey, it's felt really important to be really intentional about how I'm going to use that space and what I'm going to do with it. And so I take that seriously as a service-oriented job. And I think I've followed in the footsteps somewhat of the folk musicians who stay connected to the pulse of the people, you know. And more and more now, there's so much that is empowered that is not related to people. You know, like corporations are in power. And even governments, to a certain extent, are meant to be removed so they can oversee the people. But I think right now it's hard to feel the pulse of the people. We're very disconnected. And so it feels even more serious to be able to share that through this emotional back door. You can have people with very different beliefs step into a room of the same show, and you can have their attention and their ears and sometimes even their hearts, which is a unique thing that not very many people get. And so I have tried really hard to use that space really intentionally and speak about the things that I feel need to be spoken about and that I believe in. And some of those things not everyone agrees with. And that's one of the painful parts of using your voice in one way, is that you can also end up alienating someone. And so I've tried really hard to be very impeccable with my words on stage, even when I am speaking up for something I believe strongly in or an injustice. It's very tricky, and I have gotten a lot of feedback from people who didn't always like it when I did that. But I do think it's important. I think it's an important legacy to carry forward. I think it's important to talk about what's happening. And I think it's important now more than ever to stay connected to how we're feeling and what's happening to us as people and in our communities, because it's very easy to feel disconnected from our own lives. And so those are some of the things I draw on when I try to speak about issues on stage. I also, one of my other rebellion things is I was a punk rocker, you know. My first guitar was an electric guitar. I was in punk bands, so it's like I was steeped in the, like, I'm going to say the hard thing. And that's also, as a person, I'm like an emotional creature that will say the hard truth that needs to be said, even if it's not what everyone wants to hear. So I think some of that's just my own path in this world, but I try to do it with as much love as possible and do my best not to alienate anyone, because we need all of us, you know?
So nicely said. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you would share, I was gonna ask you to share a punk rock song, but I don't know if you're prepared for that.
No, I'm not.
I'm wondering if you'll share another song with us, May.
Yeah. I'm gonna sing one. This is a song where I was like, where are all the protest songs? What's happening to the radio? And what would happen if we stopped talking about the hard things? And what would happen if no one spoke up at all? So this song is about that.
Future, not just
you may. I've heard you say this beautiful thing. I'm going to paraphrase it. But I've heard you say this beautiful thing about how we each individually need to show up in the way that we know how. And I think sometimes we can get really discouraged by sort of just the giganticness of the world and the many problems and the many issues in the world. And I'm wondering if you'll speak a little bit to the ways in which you locate hope and sort of bring that into what you do musically.
Yeah, I think, you know, I want to honor the question and also just how hard it is to do. And so I want to first say that it's not an easy thing. But I think even striving for that is a beautiful thing. And I know that every day I wake up and I strive to feel gratitude. And I think if we can find gratitude, then we can begin to notice, and those two things go hand in hand. So even if you don't want to get out of bed, if you can be grateful that you're breathing, then you can sort of notice that maybe there's a nice breeze coming through the window, and then you can be grateful for that. And then you can notice that the way the light's hitting the window is actually very beautiful, and you can be grateful for that. And as we notice and give gratitude, there's more place there, right? We find our place in existence. It's like, oh, I am alive. I belong. And from there, we can slowly take the little steps forward to finding our hope for that day. And sometimes it might just be that little bit of it. But I do think it's always there. And I think when we numb out and we stop feeling ourselves, it can be, we stop noticing. And as we disassociate from our entire world and stop feeling things, like, how could we notice anything? And therefore, how could we have gratitude? It just all goes together. So I think one of my practices is trying to stay aware, stay with feeling, and give gratitude. And I, even no matter how bad things are, if I can do those three things, there's life there. There's not a void there. Like, grief is not a void. Grief is an active living thing. It's a vital thing. So I think that if we can stay vital, even those small little ways, and be patient with ourselves, then there's always going to be hope and work and things to do there. So that's for me. I mean, I don't know how it is for everybody, but that's how I remind myself to find it when I feel lost.
I'm going to appreciate your insight so much into that. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's one thing you're grateful for today?
Today? Oh my gosh. Well, I was grateful actually that the sun was out and that the drive on the mountain pass was easy and mellow, because I found myself feeling really nervous as not a mountain person. That's coming from a very flat place, driving by myself. So I just kept being like feeling so much gratitude for the sun. And it was such a comfort today, because I was like, oh, I'm not driving through the snow on these crazy windy roads that I don't know. And so I felt a lot of gratitude for that. And I also feel a tremendous amount of gratitude to be in this space that is cultivated for the arts and everything you're doing to support the arts in your community. Like, that's my home. That's how I exist. It's because of places and people like you. So I feel a lot of gratitude for that today as well.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for asking.
I've noticed, I think, something about, I know that one of your sort of creative missions is to bring people out of their heads and into their hearts. And I think one of the really remarkable things about you as a performer and as a person is that you do that by living that. You do that by showing up really vulnerably and honestly and genuinely. I'm curious if you'll speak a little bit about sort of the exchange that you feel like happens between you and the audience when you show up in this way, because I think sometimes it can be kind of disarming. I think, you know, not every performer is vulnerable on stage, and I'm wondering if you'll speak a little to that.
Yeah, I think, to be totally honest, it is just who I am, and I'm always striving to really give something that feels honest, and that's because that's the only way music feels good to me. Like, if I'm trying to be something else or inauthentic, it doesn't have that soul-giving flow that feels so good. So I'm kind of robbed of why I do this if I start to not be authentic. unfortunately, sometimes, because I think it would be easier, right, if it wasn't that way. So for better or worse, I show up where I'm at. And I've found in my life, like, I've never talked about something true or something hard and had someone go, oh, I've never felt that way. Like, everyone always goes, oh, my God, thank you for saying that. Me too. And so, you know, and not everybody's ready to go to those places all the time. And sometimes my music is too emotional for where someone is at in a given day. And that's okay. Like, my sister so wisely says, I'm not for everyone. And so I feel that. It's like my songs are emotional. I'm a sensitive person. You know, I'm going to talk about tender things. And it's not for everyone. But if I'm not being vulnerable, then how could I expect my audience to go to vulnerable places within themselves? And there's a sacred part of music that's moving through you, that's outside of me and outside of the audience, that we're kind of co-creating. It's a sacred space and an energy that we're sharing. And if I can't be an open receptacle for that energy, it's not going to move. And so it's kind of this constant adventure of how do I stay open and vulnerable. And sometimes admitting, like, I'm nervous right now, or admitting, like, I had a horrible day, and everyone just, like, all of a sudden relaxes. It's like, oh, because we're all human, you know? And I also believe that the audience is as much a part of the show as I am. We exchange, like I said. So for me, it's where it's at. And I love that vulnerability. And I also think, like, if I told everyone, hey, you're going to come to the show and you're going to get in touch with some really deep feelings that you didn't know you had, and you might cry a lot, people, I don't think anyone would sign up for that necessarily. I'd be like, even if they were, like, really, you know, in touch with themselves, it's hard to want to go do that, right? It's like getting in the cold water. It's like nobody wants to do that. So, you know, I just try to show up as myself, and that invitation for vulnerability is always there. And, you know, people can slowly, gently be moved by the music in the way that they need it, you know?
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Will you give us one more song?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So I'm going to leave you this one. It's about connection and how we really need one another. And recent years, we've been taught even more so how true that is. And so this is called Closer to Me. I can feel the air changing, and the colors on the trees, but I can't feel your heart from here. Won't you come a little closer to me? All the future's here inside us, and the world's in between. I just wanna walk beside you. Won't you come a little closer to me? When kindness feels like a stranger, and I can't be stronger. An open door, or the first cut runs so deep. Won't you come a little closer to me? What you want, and won't you come a little closer to me? When kindness feels like a stranger, and I can't be stronger anymore, first cut runs so deep. Won't you come a little closer? Is this real? Won't you come a little closer?